Turn this evening, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 13. I'm preaching tonight on a very practical subject, but yet my message is somewhat of a sequel to the message this morning. We're back in the book of Exodus again tonight, and this is kind of a sequel in the sense that it gives us a little bit of an understanding why the sin that Israel committed was so heinous when you consider, by looking at these chapters in Exodus, just how good God had been, and God's leadership was so powerful for the people of Israel during the wilderness wanderings. I have a book at home that was written by Dr. Charles Stevens, who was the one that established Piedmont Bible College. Of course, it used to be Piedmont Bible College, but years ago, Dr. Stevens, he wrote a book entitled The Wilderness Wanderings, and it's a classic on the subject of the wanderings of the people of God in the wilderness. And he does a bang-up job with the study of all of the things that transpired in the wilderness when Israel traveled from Egypt to the Canaan land. And there's just so much to learn. If you can ever get your hand on that book, I would encourage you to get that book and read it. It's called The Wilderness Wanderings by Dr. Charles Stevens. It's a classic on the subject. But anyway, in chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, I want to read two verses tonight, verses 17 and 18 of this great chapter. It says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for the reading of your word. And thank you particularly this evening for these two verses, because, dear Father, there is so much great truth that one can see and learn in these verses. And Father, I believe this evening that the truth that we see in these verses carries over to our lives today as we think of the Christian life, the Christian journey, the road we travel. So Father in heaven, I pray this evening that you will help me now to rightly divide the word of truth. And then, Heavenly Father, may the message this evening be used of the Holy Spirit to prompt our hearts and remind us this evening of our shortcomings and what we need and how we can receive the right help from the Lord. So, Father, bless this evening every name I called earlier. Lord, you heard the prayer list as we called the names out. I pray for each individual on that prayer list. Now, Father, bless us at this time, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching tonight on the subject, it's a mighty rough road. It's a mighty rough road. And obviously, my application this evening will be in the sense of applied to the Christian life in general. I can say tonight it's a mighty rough road. Living for the Lord is not easy. The Christian life is not easy. The road we travel is a road that sees difficulties. I'm thinking of even the, and here's another good classic book I would suggest you reading. And since I'm in the teaching business as well as preaching, I want to help my congregation as much as I can. Read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't already read that book, that's tremendous. Pilgrim's Progress. You know what we've done in this day and time, and I really believe this. I believe we're losing an art. We're not reading enough. People used to read more than they read now. And it's so important to read good books. But Pilgrim's Progress talks about the time that that pilgrim, he come out of the city of destruction. He meets evangelists. And he's saved. And then en route to heaven, it deals in all of the trappings, all of the pitfalls, in all of the things along the way which confront Christians as we deal with living for God. Great book. Now, it's a mighty rough road. That's what I'm talking about this evening. And it is a mighty rough road. Can any of you this evening, we've heard testimonies tonight, can any of you tonight say, since I've been saved, it's been an easy road? I doubt very seriously if we'd get very much response on that. None of us have found it to be an easy road. You know, I come from a state that was famous for having rough roads. State of West Virginia. I believe we invented rough roads. I don't know of any state in the Union where the highway system can become the challenge that it is in West Virginia. And I'm being kind. I'm using that word challenge, you noticed. We could talk about the potholes. That's not there. West Virginia, at one time, prior to this good governor, and I think Manchin, I commend him for his courageous stand in the face of a lot of his colleagues that are so radical and liberal, but yet I do commend Senator. I appreciate his stand now, but years ago, though, the road system was so bad. Or wait a minute, let me get my facts straight here. Governor or Senator, I'm a little confused tonight. Governor Manchin, right? Not Senator, Governor. No, Senator. I'm sorry. Brain fog. Yeah, Senator. Why, I should have known that. Y'all were willing to just let me be wrong and you were going to accept it, right? But anyway, there was a time that the politics of that state was so bad. Someone mockingly said they lost their respect for the political figures in West Virginia somewhere in a pothole between Bluefield and Charleston. State was known for potholes. The road system, the secondary roads are one lane, many of them. One lane. And if you meet anybody on some of them one lane roads, you're in a world of hurt. There's a place there, not far from where I pastored. The road was called Anthony Creek Road. Winding road, going down into a valley, and in that valley was the Greenbrier River, a beautiful river. But the winding road, it takes you around and up and down and so forth, and it's a one-lane road. And on both sides of that road, in some places, is nothing but a drop-off and a canyon. And you have to do some major adjusting. If you meet anyone coming on that road, rough roads, that's what I'm talking about. Now, let me say tonight, the Christian life has a rough road. There's obstacles. There are challenges. There are pitfalls. There's some difficulties along the way. And the sooner we learn that, the better off will be. It's not smooth sailing at all. It's not get saved and you got it made at all. No, that's far from the truth. Get saved, and guess what? Then you're in a battle. Get saved, now the war is brought in on you. Because it's a spiritual warfare. We look at this passage of scripture here. It is an amazing portion of God's Word. We've read this evening already that when God led Israel out of Egypt, God could have taken them the shortcut to the Promised Land. He could have led them the route which would have been much shorter, but He didn't. And if you caught it while we were reading, I think one reason is the people of Israel, they had to be trained up on the road. They had to learn while they were traveling. They had to get hardened up. They had to learn appropriately in order to be able to fight against the enemy that they would eventually face. So therefore, the road that God had designed for them was a road that they needed. May I say tonight, the Christian life, the road that we travel is a rough road, but it's the right road. And furthermore, it's the best road. All of us this evening, before we came to Christ, we were on a road all right. It was a broad road. And it might have been what we thought smooth sailing, but we did not know the danger of the pitfalls that we were facing until we got saved. And then the Spirit of God made it clear to us, if we stayed on that road, we could drop into hell any minute. I mean, that's a pretty serious stuff there, isn't it? So the Christian life, the road that we travel, is a rough road, but it's the best road. I'd still rather be on this road than the road I used to be on any day. I'd still rather be traveling this road. Now, to look at our context tonight, Exodus chapter 13. This road turned out to be a 40-year road. 40 years. That's a pretty long trip, isn't it? Any of you ever taken a trip, took you 40 years to get your destination? Pretty long, isn't it? Took them 40 years. Now, God could have taken them a shortened route, but he didn't. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and because of the unbelief that had set in, because they listened to the report of the majority over the minority, because of that, then God put them on a bypass route for sure. They wondered and wondered and wondered and wondered. And I mean, 40 years from the time that they left and crossed the Red Sea, they finally went into Kadesh Barnea. And also, too, I might point out, no one of that adult generation that came out, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, rest of them, they had funeral services for them in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb went in. So it was a rough road. Rough road. The fastest route, if you're interested in just a little bit of geography, and I point this out tonight as a little teaching lesson, the fastest route from Ramses, Egypt, to Canaan was a highway that could have been traveled under normal condition in 8 to 10 days. 8 to 10 days. The short road was a Mediterranean route. It was the same route that Jacob traveled when he went down to Egypt. For Israel, it took 2 years for them to reach Mount Sinai. And we heard what happened this morning on Mount Sinai, or at the base of Mount Sinai. But it took Israel 2 years to reach Mount Sinai, and then the borders of Kadesh Barnea, they then spent an additional 38 years in the wilderness. It's amazing. It was a rough road. I want to take this topic, and I want to build it around some simple practical points that we all can use. Imagine now, think along this line. See ourselves on a trip. See us on a journey. See us leaving one point, namely the point where we got saved, and this, see us finally coming to the promised land of glory. But I'm going to put it like this. The preparation for this rough road, there was a preparation for it. We didn't wind up on this rough road automatically. We weren't just driving along, minding our own business, so to speak, and then find ourselves automatically on the way of life. It didn't come about accidentally. No one gets on this road by accident. And I'll tell you something else, too, while I'm on the subject. No one gets on this road by their own GPS system. We don't get in, go on the road that way. I can illustrate that point in a way that we all can understand when it comes to direction. If there's any human beings that populate planet Earth who has trouble with directions, it happens to be the male gender. And we're too proud to admit it. We don't like to stop. We don't like to ask directions. We'd rather just go ahead and shoot from the hip and try to make it on our own. And invariably, and I'm talking for myself, I can even, you know, I'm the type of a person, I can even mess up a GPS. I can even confuse a GPS. Not too many people can do that, but I can do that. I can actually confuse the thinking, at least it seems, of the GPS. I hear it quite often, make a U-turn. And so that's what I'm talking about. So, you see, our GPS system is never going to be good enough to get on this road I'm talking about. And this road I'm talking about, you all already know what I'm talking about. The road to life is not entered by accident. It's entered by grace. It's by God's direction. In other words, He has to direct us to the road itself. Not only does He direct us on the road, He directs us to the road. We need to get His direction even to get to the road. And getting to the road is a matter of getting saved. Redemption. Salvation. So the preparation for this rough, mighty rough road for Israel, it started the same way that you and I start on that road I'm talking about. How did it begin for Israel? Well, it began by the slaying of the Passover lamb. You all know what that was all about. The Passover lamb, the application of the blood to the doorpost, a picture of Calvary. Exodus chapter 12, a picture of Calvary. So the preparation had to be through the blood of the lamb, namely, salvation through the cross. That standard is still in effect today. No one gets on the road to life except the same ancient way that God had developed. And it was entered by application of type, Old Testament. But it's still the same principle. Would it shock some of you folks to know? I don't think it shocked y'all because y'all already know. You've been taught this. In fact, I for one have taught you. We know this evening that every person, I'm going to prove a point here tonight. I usually get on this side. I'm going to prove I can also get on this side. Some of you folks make comments about that. I think Sister Lisa. I like the way, preacher, you always go to the right of the pulpit. Well, Lisa, guess what? Look where I'm at now. But the standard is the same for getting on the road, New Testament, as it was Old Testament. No one has ever gotten saved except by one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Old Testament, the cross was looked at by faith as coming, as future. And New Testament, the cross is looked upon historically, but it's still by faith. They looked forward to the cross. They anticipated the cross. They were taught through types, through symbols, what the cross was. The slaying of the sacrificial animals, the blood being applied to that doorpost. On and on and on, typology, we see it. The high priest, for example, Israel's system of sacrifices and offerings. It all was pointing towards the coming of the Lamb of God. I don't know of any Old Testament passage that thrills me anymore in teaching and preaching Calvary in the Old Testament than in Genesis 22. When Abraham took Isaac, his son, to offer him. And Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" And then the answer that Abraham gave, "God will provide himself a lamb." That's thrilling stuff right there. So getting on the road has always been the same. It's salvation through the blood. Looking forward by faith, Old Testament. Looking back by faith, New Testament. So this rough road, you get on it by faith. Secondly, the providence of this rough road. It's a providential thing. It's a particular road, but it's a providential road in the sense, and I want you to see this. Providence was involved. God was directing. The Lord was in control of the journey. God led them. He was in charge of the mapping of the direction. It was a providential road. The Lord didn't just, you know, bring them through the Red Sea and now say, okay, kids, y'all get there the best way you know how. Y'all get to Canaan land the best way you know how. God didn't dump them on the banks of the Red Sea when they got, you know, across the Red Sea. God didn't dump them. No, no. God stayed with them. He led them. It was a providential thing. And I believe tonight the road, the rough road that we're on is a providential road. I believe that God is leading us along. He is in charge of our lives. And even though, and have you ever had this experience? Have you ever been driving down the road and you're thinking to yourself, this doesn't seem like the right direction. This doesn't seem like the right place. It doesn't look like. You might say, well, I've traveled this road before. What I'm seeing now doesn't look like what it used to. It just doesn't seem right. So you deal with that insecurity. Then you travel a little bit further. And maybe if you do what I have to do, you recheck your phone GPS. And the phone GPS says continue on X amount of miles and so forth. And then you can settle down and relax a little bit because you've got the confirmation that the road you're on is still the right road, even though it didn't feel like the right road. You know, we can apply that tonight to the Christian life, can't we? Sometimes we don't feel like this is the right road. Sometimes we may not feel very good about the trip. But we have a GPS too, don't we? You know what our GPS is? It's a road map of the Word of God, isn't it? It's the Bible. When I begin to wonder if maybe I've turned on the wrong road, if I turn in the Scriptures and I begin reading the promises of God's Word and read, I given to them eternal life, they shall never perish, blah, 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 verse after verse, Scripture after Scripture, promise after promise, then I can settle back and I can enjoy the trip. Because I know that even though it doesn't feel right from time to time, it's still right. So you see, it's a providential thing. The providential thing. God took full responsibility for the journey. God was leading them. Pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. The blessed providence of God is seen in the background of the journey, during the course of the journey, and at the end of the journey. You know, we can factor in all kinds of things. You know, when you're traveling down this rough road of redemption, there's a lot of blessed things along the way. It's just like, you know, and I'm staying with this illustration this evening of driving, being on a road, traveling, you know, going to a destination. Just like when you're traveling down a road, you get tired. You get weary. You get sick and tired of sitting in one position. You need to stretch. Sometimes you may get thirsty. You want to get a drink of water or a Pepsi, Diet Pepsi that is. Keep that in mind, Diet Pepsi. I would say get yourself some fruit. Stay away from oranges. You ever tried to drive a car and peel an orange? There are certain things you're better off to eat and leave other things alone. But refreshments along the way are a big help. I'm one of those people that Carol's always wanting to set a world's record. Chuck, what time did we leave? That's one of the first things she'll ask me. What time did we leave? Like we're scheduled to be somewhere at a set time, and we can't lose a minute. Keep going. I'm driving down the road. I see her little eyes looking over at that speedometer. Chuck, do you know you're only going 45? It's a 55-mile zone. Or if it's a 65-mile zone, I'll tell you what, she doesn't cut me as much slack as a state trooper would. Do you know you're going 60 in a 65? Well, I can drive 70 in a 65. The state trooper won't say anything, but I'm under 5, and I catch it from Carol. Just get there. Just get there. Years ago, when we used to travel, we'd pack sandwiches. Her family did that. My family did that. Bologna sandwiches. Mustard on them. And we'd eat along the way. That would be it. That's how we'd eat. Very little stopping. But anyway, getting back to what I'm saying here, I hate to go anywhere where I can't stop and enjoy the trip. I'm not setting any records. I'll tell you one thing. This body of mine is not qualified to set any records anymore anyway. I get stiff too soon. I get sleepy. I get hungry. I get thirsty. I want to enjoy the trip. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to heaven, but I want to enjoy the trip too while I'm going there. But then I pull over, get a snack, we get in the car. Mrs. Peters will say, you know, we were in there 30 minutes. But boy, do I feel much better stopping, taking a break. Well, now, let me give you something to chew on tonight. This rough road we're on, the providence of this rough road, in a sense, I can pull over on the side of the road and I can enjoy a bit of refreshment that comes in the form of a Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, that says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I find the realization of the love of God to be a refreshment along the journey of life. To know that God loves me, has not changed his attitude at all. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more or love us less. An immutable, unchanging God is known to have immutable, unchanging love. His attitude is not conditioned like ours are. We can condition the attitudes of other people. We can be unkind to people, and generally they'll be unkind back. We can frown at people. Many times they'll frown back. We can condition. We can make people mad at us. We can get them aggravated. We can have a falling out for a while. We can go and not even speak. We can condition the attitude of one another because we are fallen human beings who become temperamental, and that's how the flesh reacts. But not so with God. There are times, and let's be honest tonight, we have some couples in this service. We have one young couple sitting back on the back row that just got married 3 weeks ago. You didn't expect that, did you, Stephanie? Stephanie and Steve renewed their vows. I think y'all knew that. But let me ask you, as married couples, have any of you ever gotten so mad at your spouse that you found yourself asking yourself momentarily, do I really love that person now or not? I mean, do you ever get so mad you could kill them? You could just help God out, you know, get them out of their misery. You're thinking that. I mean, if there's anybody tonight in this church service as married couples that's been married very long, if you sit there and tell me that you've never had an argument, you've never had a disagreement, you've never gotten mad at the other person, I hate to use this word. You're in church. You shouldn't have to use it, but I got to call you a liar. But I'm glad tonight that God is not like we are. I'm so thankful tonight to know that He loves us even when we are unlovable, despicable, unkind, bitter, ungrateful, moody, and all the rest. God still loves us. I find that to be a refreshment stand along this rough road of life, to know the love of God. Then I think of the wisdom of God behind our road choice. These people weren't willing to face the Philistines. God knew it. God said, you don't need a short trip. You need a long trip to get conditioned, to get hardened up, to be able to better fight the Philistines. And God also knew their weakness. He knows our weakness. And His knowledge of who we are, our temperament, our weakness, is a blessing, because God deals with us accordingly. In Psalm 103, verse 13, and here's another stop along the road at another refreshment point, and it's right here. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knoweth our frame, that we are dust. We are dust. God knows our frame. This road that we're on, it's a rough road, but it's a road that God providentially leads us on. He knows our frame. He knows we need every pothole in the road, in the way. He knows we need the little narrow road from time to time. He knows that we need exactly what we're on. And that's refreshment. Then I'm encouraged to know that on this road, God knows that this road is a road of His choice. I need every trial. I need every burden. I need every heartache. I need every difficulty along the way, because the master designer knows that I need that as part of the training curriculum to make me a better Christian. Psalm 107, verse 23 says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. Some of the greatest business that'll ever be carried on will be carried on in deep waters. God can do a mighty business in our hearts, in our lives, in our development, through deep waters, not shallow waters, deep waters. So I've simply said all of that to say this, and it might encourage you to know that's only 2 points. I got about 4 more, but I'm going to spare you tonight, and I'm done. I'm about as done as, in other words, I'm like that judge on TV, who I used to watch this judge, and she'd be ready to rule. She'd be ready to make her decision, the judge would. She said, I'm so done. She said, I am so done, so ready. She said, you could stick me with a fork and I'd sizzle. I'm that ready. So I'm done. But I hope I've helped you. I hope you realize tonight it's a mighty rough road, but it's the best road. It's the good road. It's the one that has a good ending. And we have a good guide. We have the best guide service we possibly could ever have. And by the way, God is not our co-pilot either. He's our pilot. Whenever you see that sign, God is my co-pilot, whoever put that sign together is not thinking. I don't get to heaven by a co-pilot. I get there by the pilot. So I don't know. I may not have helped you tonight, but I've helped myself a little bit. Practical, wasn't it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this evening for your word, and thank you for the rough road and the what we learn on it. And Lord, the blessings of knowing the Lord. of realizing there's potholes and there's a narrow road and there's roughness in the road, but it's the right one. And it's the road that leads to glory. Father, thank you tonight for that blessed truth of knowing where we're going when we die. Father in heaven, bless now this invitation. If there's anyone here in this service that maybe they're struggling on the road, maybe tonight they just need the encouragement that comes from your word, Father. Help through the Holy Spirit to just be encouraged in a way that only you can encourage them. If someone needs to come tonight and, Lord, have a time of communion with you at this altar, or Father, whatever the needs are, if there's someone that's not on the straight and narrow way, who might be watching YouTube, Facebook, that's not a Christian, Lord, help them realize this evening that they need the GPS of the Word of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to get on the right road. It's called conversion. It's called salvation. It's called redemption. It's called being born again. So, Father, if there's anyone unsaved, may they call upon you, Lord. And now bless us this evening, the ending part of this service, in the invitation. May no one leave this building with unfinished business. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.